Islam, worship, feminism, pietism, postmodernism. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14 and 15 in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
Any organization whose first priority is evangelization should never take a penny from the government.
The etiquette of contemporary postmodern America is that all persons should just stand beside one another and say, we're together in spite of all of our differences. But what that really implies is a relativity of truth.
The reason some Lutheran pastors and congregations no longer practice closed communion is because they simply are no longer willing to insist on the doctrine of the Lord's Supper in the Lutheran confessions.
Confessional Lutheran deadheads love Issues Etc.
I have to admit it wasn't high on my list of priorities 30 years ago. When I was casting about for a life partner, I was looking, I was in the middle of college, but I was ready to get serious about the opposite sex, so to speak. I was done with dating. I was done with that stuff. I was ready to look for a wife. College is a great place to find one, but it was not high on my list of priorities to find a Lutheran perspective wife, a Lutheran fiance. I'm just admitting that it wasn't for whatever reason. Now, I did happen to find one, which worked out well because I am a Lutheran, and it's worked out nicely for the last 25 years of marriage because we have been united not only in marriage, but also in a common confession of faith. So that's how it sometimes works out, but often doesn't. Now, if you were to put a list of priorities together of the average young couple thinking about getting married, what they should agree on, it might make the list: matters of religion, faith, particular confessions of faith. It might not. And that's a problem, not only for those couples down the line, because this isn't one of those things you can put off. It really isn't. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. You cross that bridge when you say, you know, I think I'd like to marry this person. How important ought it to be, the other person's confession of faith, and whether or not it is the same as yours? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. In the first half hour of the program, we're going to talk about different Christian confessions in the same family. Of course, when kids come along, that complicates what's already a rather complicated problem, whether you recognize it or not. Pastor Jeff Hemmer will be our guest. A little bit later, Pastor David Ramirez joins us. We'll talk about the Word of God. Is it the Word of God, Scripture, or does it just contain the Word of God in some shape, matter, or form? Pastor Tom Baker will be with us in hour two of Issues, Etc. We'll be in John chapter 6, the first 14 verses, teaching a Sunday school lesson, Jesus Feeds the 5,000. You can join us for the next 2 hours. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Pastor Jeff Hemmer is pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. He's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Competing Confessions. Jeff, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Is it a sin for a young man of a certain Christian confession to marry outside that confession?
Well, I think we need to be clear, first of all, on the difference between marrying a Christian of a different confession and marrying someone of an altogether different religion. Paul gives a pretty clear warning about being unequally yoked with unbelievers. So that's in 2 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, he gives a pretty clear admonition that just being married to an unbeliever is not grounds for a divorce. So, yeah, it's probably a sin to marry someone who's not a Christian. But then, in the same breath, it would be a sin to divorce someone just because now that you're married, they're not a Christian. Paul says, "Do not know, wife, whether you will save your unbelieving husband, or vice versa." But when it comes to different Christian confessions, I think it probably goes too far to say that it would be a sin to marry someone who's of a different Christian confession. But that doesn't make it a good idea, right? That's just the beginning of the conversation, that we establish that it's not sinful. But then, is it a good idea, right? If you have different understandings of the world, different understandings of who God is and how he relates to us, whether he does so through sacraments or sort of immediately without means, the Spirit just comes to us when and how he wishes. Those are big differences.
Okay, so you've basically said here with regard to the sin question, we have a clear word of God in the case of marrying outside the faith.
Right.
We have no clear word of God when it comes to marrying within the faith but outside the confession.
That's true.
Okay, so define for us what we mean, kind of the parameters that we're operating with in this conversation when we talk about different, or as you say, conflicting or competing confessions. What are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about, I mean, we could be talking about, say, a Lutheran guy and a Catholic woman. We could be talking about even, a Missouri Synod guy and an ELCA lady. They're confessions with different worldviews. They see the world altogether differently. Now, those differences may vary, but at least insofar as those churches have said, our differences are significant enough that we can't, for instance, commune together, then those differences need to be taken seriously by people who plan to share a bed.
Is it serious enough a question for a prospective husband or wife that it ought to be, if not near the top, at the top of the things that they're thinking about when they're considering marriage together?
Oh, absolutely. And when, this is what it falls to fathers, first of all, or mothers if fathers are abdicating their responsibility, but it falls to fathers to catechize their children, to seek someone who has similar values to you, and those values include the worldview of a Christian confession. And then, it's incumbent upon pastors as well. When a couple comes in and says, we'd like to be married, but they're of different confessions, the pastor needs to talk about that. And in my own practice at Bethany, I will encourage those couples to take instruction at one another's congregations. Ideally, they would join and be united in their confession. One would leave a past confession and they would confess together at the same church in the same pew, commune together at the same altar. But even worst case scenario, they've taken instruction, from one another's pastors or whatever, and so they're at least better informed about the different confessions of their household.
I guess we should establish here also that we're not talking about minor differences, but, quibbling over trivialities among Christians.
Right.
The differences between some of these confessions are not only many, but sometimes profound when it comes to the perspective of the Christian faith. How would you describe it?
Well, and there, these differences are magnified, too, when a couple is no longer a couple but a family, that is, when children come into the picture. A husband and a wife might decide to agree to disagree. They can each drive different places on a Sunday morning, assuming they're both, regular attendees, both devoted members of whatever their confessions are. But when children enter the picture, then you've got to deal with some really substantial issues. Take, for instance, baptism, right? If you believe that baptism is a means by which God delivers faith and forgiveness of sins, where he rescues us from the devil's kingdom and brings us into the kingdom of his Son, then you'll want that done to your child very, very soon after birth. If you believe that baptism is something that we do for God, that is for believers, that they do to commit themselves to God, then you will want to postpone that until children are able to make that decision. So, I mean, you know, that's just one small example, but what does a family use for family devotions, right? Do they use something that draws on Dad's Lutheran piety, or do they pray the rosary with Mom?
With only about a minute here, are you saying it just can't work?
No. and it can work, but it's not ideal. That's what we want to say. And churches need to be helpful, need to be sensitive to the struggles that these families have, and need to come alongside them. And, you know, most of these are families that already exist, and these are the questions that they're wrestling with. And they're, you know, trying to decide how to raise their children best. And churches need to assist them in those endeavors.
We're talking with Pastor Jeff Hemmer on this Tuesday afternoon. It's 26th of February. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. And we're talking about the different Christian confessions that sometimes exist in the same family, especially between husband and wife, father and mother. I invite your questions and your comments. Join the conversation, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email with a question or a comment, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. When we come back, let's take apart some of the scenarios where a different confession between a husband and a wife, a father and a mother, really makes a difference, and you're in the same family. You have no intention of allowing this to come between you. The best solution, of course, is, as Pastor Hemmer has pointed out, the best solution, of course, is to deal with this before the ring is on the finger. But he just very wisely pointed out that this is often a situation that the church deals with after the fact. And now, it can be made to work. What can the church do to aid couples who have different confessions in the same family? We'll answer that question after this.
How would you like to attend a conference and hear Rod Rosenblatt, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, Alvin Schmidt, Suzanne Venker, and Todd Wilkin? You're invited to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at oursaviorspecifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about different Christian confessions in the same family. Perhaps you have a story of your own an experience of your own to share with us. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor Jeff Hemmer is our guest, pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Competing Confessions. You pointed out before the break that this is often a situation that the church deals with, so to speak, after the fact. A couple joins, or a couple's been members there for a long time, and the wife is of one confession of faith, Christian confession of faith, the husband's of another. What basically can the church do?
Well, we need to be clear that, you know, we're not, the goal is not to kind of fix broken families, right? Just because a family has a different confession, you know, mom and dad aren't of the same faith. Are of the same faith, but not of the same Christian confession. We don't aim to be condescending or to, you know, kind of fix what's broken. Really, we want the family to have a vibrant, growing life of faith together. And that's what we aim for when we pray for families to be united in their confession. And so we begin by modeling repentance and forgiveness, right? Not some kind of, you know, holier-than-thou attitude that, why can't your family be more like my family? But rather, you know, we want to model repentance. There's no such thing as a perfect family, but we want to grow together and receive the gifts of God together. Churches need to, even just ordinary parishioners need to demonstrate regular faithful attendance at church. Even setting that as the example encourages those who, you know, maybe their household is of a divided confession and it's hard to get out of bed and go to church when you're going to different places. Well, you know, if there's someone there on a Sunday morning to encourage you, or who when you're not there will say, hey, you know, we missed you on Sunday. Everything okay? So just by modeling that, you know, regular weekly attendance at the divine service and Bible classes, you know, bringing their kids to Sunday school, that goes a long way towards encouraging families to be present as well. Pastors can be sensitive to these particular situations too. You know, by visiting people in their homes, you get to know them on sort of a different level than just from the pulpit looking down at the pews. You kind of get to, you know, see people in their environments, see them, you know, talk to them about the struggles that they have. This is what mom believes, this is what dad believes. We don't know what to do with our kids, where to send them to school or Sunday school, or, you know, we struggle with what to pray for family devotions if we do those at all. Pastors visiting homes can kind of be in touch and help offer resources for family prayer, can put things into the hands of fathers leading their families, like Treasury of Daily Prayer or even simply like Portals of Prayer, good, faithful materials. And then pastors can also offer catechesis that's designed for households of mixed confessions assumes that, those coming to catechesis are Christian, and so they already have some understanding of the Bible. But maybe the catechesis you take a look at what different Christian confessions, what they believe, and the history of those different confessions.
It really does kind of come to a sharp edge at the communion rail.
Yeah.
Why is a pastor simply saying, well, you know, the husband is Lutheran, a member of this congregation, the wife is Southern Baptist, but come on, they're husband and wife, they love each other, been married 20 years, I'm going to go ahead and commune the Baptist wife, you know, so that they can at least have the experience of communing together if they're not members of the same Christian confession. Why is that not a solution, Pastor Hemmer?
Well, because it doesn't take seriously the Baptist wife confession. It doesn't take her at her word, what she says she believes about the Lord's Supper, what she says she believes about salvation and how that is obtained. The nice thing to be said for closed communion is that it takes people at their word. What they say they believe by their public confessions, what they say they believe by the churches with which they align themselves. And if someone, you know, by being a member of a Southern Baptist church says to me, you know, I believe that you need to make a decision, ask Jesus into your heart, I believe that baptism doesn't save, and I believe that what you celebrate at the Lord's Supper is just kind of this memorial meal where you have wine and bread, but that doesn't really deliver the body and blood of Jesus, I will take you at your word that you don't believe those things. But because that's what you believe, we're not united in confession, and we can't be united at the rail together. And so it doesn't do husbands and wives any favors when we overlook those differences of confessions. If it's significant enough for a wife to be a member of a Southern Baptist congregation and a husband to be a member of a Missouri Synod congregation, then those differences, if they're significant enough to disunify that family's confession, then they should be significant enough to note at the communion rail.
That kind of presents an added wrinkle here, and sometimes it's a very lopsided situation at church when they attend. You mentioned before Lutherans of different confession, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America that has a profoundly different confession than, say, our church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Right.
Look, if there was a couple of mixed confession there, they could both attend that ELCA church and commune there. No one would be stopping them, whereas that case would not prevail.
And I mean, hopefully the conscience of the, you know, person in that couple who's a Missouri Synod member would stop him from communing at that altar. If he doesn't, you know, if he has no problem communing at an altar that professes all the things the ELCA believes, then you just kind of ought to stop and ask, why are you still a member of this Missouri Synod parish? If the things, you know, your spouse's confession of faith espouses, they don't bother you, then why not unite your household in a common confession of faith? If you want to commune at that altar, then just be honest about doing it and join that congregation.
You mentioned earlier, Pastor Hemmer, kids, and that is, I think the usual solution here is we're going to kind of shuttle them back and forth depending on a Sunday, and then at some point we're going to have to cross this bridge, but we'll let the kids make up their mind.
Right.
What are your thoughts there?
You know, just look at families that have struggled with this. And that's really what it is a struggle. Most of the time, those kind of arrangements where kids are asked to choose between mom's confession and dad's confession, those just don't go well. Sometimes you get kids who fall away. Sometimes you get kids who join other congregations, you know, that are not mom's confession or dad's confession. You know, for 18 years or 16 or however many years until we ask kids to make this decision, we've been teaching them sort of relativism, right? It kind of doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe something and believe it sincerely. You can believe it sincerely with dad and his confession, or you can believe it sincerely with mom and her confession, but believe something. Well, we shouldn't be surprised then when, you know, kids are departing after that. They'll believe something, but it might not be either one of those confessions.
Brian has this suggestion. He says, you must choose a wife who will submit to your spiritual leadership and trust your decisions. If she refuses to go along with your conviction, it shows a spiritual rebellion that will manifest in other areas of the marriage as well. He says, my wife followed me from Pentecostal to Baptist to Presbyterian to Anglican, and finally, by God's grace, to Lutheran. What are your thoughts there?
I think that needs to be a gentle call to submission, and I think it involves, you know, being catechized together and studying the Word of God together and making those transitions when they're right for both people. I mean, I certainly believe that the husband is the spiritual head of his household, that he is the pastor in that place, the pastor of his family, but those they need to be gentle, nevertheless. Those kinds of moves, and we can't bind someone against their conscience to a confession that they don't agree with.
Finally, with only about 30 seconds here, this is obviously a problem that the church will deal with in perpetuity. Do you think that we're on the right track when it comes to not only recognizing the different confessions, but dealing with them pastorally at this particular point. About 30 seconds, Pastor Hammer.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're on the right track. We're having the conversation right now, so that's a step in the right direction. I think more and more people are sensitive to these kinds of concerns. So I think all of those things are on the right track. I don't think that this is a problem that will persist into perpetuity, which is why we pray, come, Lord Jesus. The day when all the divisions in the church are done is the day of our Lord's return. Best for us to be prepared for that day by communing at the same altar. Those who share a bed, who sleep side by side, should be able to commune side by side, should be able to confess side by side, raise their children side by side, and present a united confession of faith in a household. So, yeah, I mean, I think we're on the right track. Where do we go from here? We take steps forward gently and pastorally, and we trust that the Word of God will, that the truth has its way, that the Holy Spirit will enlighten people and bring them to a common confession of the faith.
Pastor Jeff Hammer is pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Competing Confessions. He'll be with us Thursday on our roundtable to talk about Jesus and Beelzebub. Jeff, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the Word of God with Pastor David Ramirez. We're joined now by listener Rocky. Rocky, tell us about the tax benefits of donating stocks to issues, etc.
What we discovered in talking with our tax people and our stock advisors is that it would be beneficial for us to be giving our charitable donations by this means, by giving stocks, which meant that we could give a stock and essentially say if you gave a $100 stock, it's straight money to whatever charitable organization you want to give. As opposed to cashing it out, we'd only be able to give whatever portion is left over after the tax consequences.
How would you advise our listeners if they're interested in donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds?
They need to go and talk to their stockbroker or their tax person, and I think they'll find out it makes a heck of a lot of economic sense. And you're much better steward with your money, because what you're ending up doing is stretching the dollars that you're able to give donation-wise. And you're able to give a whole lot more directly to those people that you want to support, and you're able to preserve much more for yourself using the laws that have been provided for it.
Rocky, is there anything that we left out that you want to tell our listeners?
Well, the only thing that you've missed is that people really need to support Issues, etc. This is a terrific way to do it in a very economical way. It's a way to do it and be good stewards of the resources that God has blessed people with. And I would encourage everyone to support Issues, etc. in every possible way that they can. And if this is available to them, I'd encourage them to look into it, because it not only will help them, but it'll help Issues, etc. also.
To find out how to reduce your tax burden and support this worldwide outreach by donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds, talk to your stockbroker or tax advisor, and then call Craig here at Lutheran Public Radio, 618-223-8385.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues, Etc. The Issues, Etc. business card and the Issues, Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues, Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11-inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. IssuesETC.org, go to the support page, click Issues, Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for February is a daily devotional resource for Lent titled Restore the Roar. It's written by Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Reed Lessing. You can read an excerpt of Restore the Roar at IssuesETC.org, or you can purchase this Lenten devotional by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Restore the Roar costs only $2.29 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040.